What's up, witches? Welcome to another episode of the Better Witch Podcast, presented by the Modern Witch Network. I'm your host, Allie, aka Bronx Witch. I'm a tarot reader, Reiki healer, and owner of Bronx Witch Headquarters, a conjure shop and witchy workshare space in the Bronx, New York. And I'm going to be coming to you every week with a new topic and perhaps a guest co-host to share our real life experiences and some of the things we've learned as practicing witches. Because when we know better, we witch better. Today's guest co-host is Madame Pamita. Madame Pamita is a Ukrainian diasporic witch, teacher, author, candle maker, spellcaster, and tarot reader. She has a popular YouTube channel for teaching witchcraft. She hosts the Magic of Law and Attraction and Baba Yaga's Magic podcasts. And she is the author of Baba Yaga's Book of Witchcraft, The Book of Candle Magic, and Madame Pamita's Magical Tarot. She is also the proprietress of the online spiritual apothecary, The Parlor of Wonders, and she lives in Santa Monica, California. You can find Madame Pamita on YouTube and Instagram as Madame Pamita and on her website at parlorofwonders.com. Kind of start talking about being eclectic witches. And when I was thinking about this episode and this topic, I really wanted to take a moment to start with my idea behind what it means to be an eclectic witch and like just checking in about language and definitions and ideas and things, because I think eclectic is definitely one of those witchy words that has maybe a more flexible definition or a definition that you see maybe change from person to person or tradition to tradition. And so just so that we're kind of, you know, kind of talking about the same thing, I'm curious as to what that word means to you and what it means to be an eclectic witch.
When I think about being an eclectic witch, which I would define myself, I don't usually call myself an eclectic witch, but I would definitely fit in that category. I think of it as someone who is not following a strict rules-based kind of spiritual practice. Someone who is perhaps finding truth in more than one sort of practice, really. Mm-hmm. And so it's someone who is going to come up with their own unique recipe, an eclectic witch. I don't think you could find two eclectic witches that are identical, because it means that you are looking at a little bit from here and looking at a little bit from there and creating a practice for yourself. So it really does have a DIY kind of quality to it. That's what I would call an eclectic witch. Mm-hmm. What do you think it is?
Yeah, I think that, I agree. I do. I think it's somebody who is trying to have more flexibility and isn't really rooted in maybe the dogma of a particular tradition. And so they may take from that tradition certain values, certain practices, certain outlooks, but not necessarily all of the day-to-day kind of structure over your life. But I think that an important thing that's become clear to me over time, I guess, or is kind of happening in my understanding of being eclectic. I refer to myself as an eclectic witch. And when I say that, I think that there's a misconception sometimes that that means that I'm not serious about my traditions, or that maybe even worse, that I just sort of mix everything together into this sort of big nonsense soup and, you know, kind of have at it. And that has not been the case for me. And I think that a lot of eclectic witches, that's not the case for them. So we kind of get a little bit of like a bad rap or like some mis- conception in the community, you know, where it's like, oh, you're eclectic. Okay, so that just means you just don't have anything figured out.
Oh, you're a dabbler. You're just dabbling.
Yeah, you're a dabbler, or it's just a mix of things. And for me, I'll admit that probably it started that way, you know, as a teenager at 12 years old. I wasn't like the most serious necessarily. I was just like, I can't do this church thing. Something about it doesn't make sense. I'm looking for something different. So I was, you know, very rudimentary in my pursuits. And probably as a young witch was a little bit more of a experimenter. Let me try this here. Let me look at that here. Let me look at that there. And I personally think that's great that I did that and was able to do that. But now as I've gotten older, being eclectic is really more about realizing that I'm called to more than one tradition. And so each of the traditions that I'm called to, I take very seriously. And I study them and I learn them and I try to move with integrity in regards to them, like not taking from them without giving proper credit or understanding what I'm taking, not just mixing it haphazardly with other stuff or calling it something else. So I try to be really respectful and go as deep along that path as I can. But it just so happens that partially because of my ancestry and partially because of my interests, I have multiple paths that call to me. And so I'm not in just one box, I guess, is what I think of as an eclectic witch, is someone who's not just in one box. But it's not the case that we're like, you know, like just jumping from box to box to box. It's like, no, I am fully in the hoodoo box, and I am fully in the Wicca box, and I am fully in this other box, and these are the traditions that I am exploring or that I am practicing. But it's not it's serious. It's a serious pursuit in any of these avenues. So I think, I have you experienced that kind of like, oh, you're eclectic, or like, oh, you're not in this tradition, or oh,
they
you're
wouldn't
not.
Dare. They wouldn't dare. But you know what? Right. What it really
not to your face is what you're saying, exactly. Right? Exactly, not to your face. Yeah.
But what I'm seeing when you describe it, it's such a beautiful description, because it really evokes for me something else. As you start going very deeply into a spiritual practice, if you get out of a fundamentalist version of a spiritual practice, right? There's a fundamentalist, which is like, I am given a list of rules from on high, and I'm going to follow those rules exactly to the T as everybody else in this group does. Mm-hmm. And everyone else has to follow these rules too, which is also problematic, right? Yeah. But if we get out of that mindset, and we start to get into what I would say traditionally we're looking at spirituality, right? And as opposed to religion, mm-hmm. we start to see there are truths in every spiritual path. Yeah. Every spiritual path has truths, but they may not be one size fits all for you, right? So I can look at Islam, I can look at Christianity, I can look at Judaism, I can look at Buddhism, I can look at Wicca, I can look at any of these things and say, wow, there's something there that really resonates for me, even if I don't need to take on the whole package, mm-hmm. but I can at least connect to it. It doesn't mean I become Muslim or I become Buddhist or I become Christian, but I can see the truth in it. And I can meet, in particular, this really came forward to me as a tarot reader, because I would meet clients who came from different spiritual paths than I did. And I had to learn about these different religious paths so that I could understand and also meet them where they are. And I could, and as an empathic person, I cannot meet someone there without finding something about it that I feel that there's a truth in it. There's mm-hmm. a truth in all religions, right? Mm-hmm. There is a truth. Mm-hmm. They get all kinds of rules and regulations and all kinds of other stuff that are added on to it, but there's a core truth. Mm-hmm. And so as an eclectic witch, there's another part of that, which is you're finding core truths in different spiritual paths, different magical paths, because primarily there is some religion in it, but mostly they're magical paths or mm-hmm. systems, magical systems. And so you may find something in Wicca that really resonates for you, but that doesn't mean you have to take on all of Wicca. Mm-hmm. You may find something in hoodoo that really resonates for you, but it doesn't mean you have to do hoodoo in some prescribed way that is, you know, like by a certain, I don't know, a hoodoo pope that's telling you how to do it. I don't know.
Can you imagine? If there's a hoodoo pope? Oh my gosh. Who would that
be? Yeah. So I look at this as like, oh, witchcraft for me is eclectic. It's all witchcraft is eclectic. Why? Because there is no pope. There's nobody telling you how to do witchcraft. And when someone starts, this is the thing that drives you bananas. We're going on a tangent now. You wanted to go on tangents? Here we go down the rabbit hole.
Do it.
One of my things is like, there are more, many, many, many parts of witchcraft that are, they have variations. Mm-hmm. Which direction do we dress our candles? I have one way. You might have a different way. Person over there might have a different way.
Right.
I say, there's no wrong way. This is the way that works for me. You guys can try that, but if you have a different way that works for you, then do that way. And so when I teach, I often teach in that way of like, here's what I do. And I know this works because I've done it millions and thousands of times, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you can try this way, but if you have a different teacher or a different system, or it doesn't resonate for you, but a different way resonates for you, mm-hmm. then do that way. It's fine.
Yeah. I'm really glad that you point out that there are different variations, even within a tradition or even within a religion, of doing things. You know, within the umbrella of Judaism, you have Orthodox Jews and you have none, and, you know, and so you have different ways of kind of going towards the same end goal. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's important for any witch, especially the new witch who's trying to wrap their minds around the whole eclectic thing and what does it mean. It's about understanding that, like, the example that I give to people is the apple pie. If you go to Google and you Google apple pie, you are going to get millions of apple pie recipes. And at the end of the day, they are all going to give you pie. Okay. Mm-hmm. And apple pie specifically.
Yum.
Right? I might have to like bake tonight. I got some apples from the farmer's market.
Yes, I love that.
Yes, yes. Total random thing. My favorite apple is Snapdragon apples. And they grow in like the end of the season. They're usually only available in the fall. And the farmer's market just came back and I saw my usual apple guys and they had Snapdragons. And I was like, you guys, what is this? And they were like, our head farmer came up with some storage process. And those are actually the apples from last fall. They don't seem to be frozen. They're not mealy or old. They're perfectly fine. Mind blowing. But anyway, I may have to make a Snapdragon apple pie after this. But so apple pie, none of these recipes are wrong if at the end of the day you put the ingredients together and you get a pie. They are different for different reasons. Maybe some have a lot of cinnamon. Maybe some have a vegan crust, or, you know, there's going to be all of these different things. But at the end of the day, they're all giving you pie. And I think that being a successful eclectic witch is understanding where the pie is. Like, this tradition might have this recipe, this tradition might have that recipe. What is it that we are all trying to make? That's what I need to understand. And then from there, I can decide which of these recipes works the best for me. And maybe for my apple pie, I go with, you know, my down south good old country recipe. But maybe when I'm making a beef stew, I really love my European recipes with mutton and all. And, you know, so there are different sources for our recipes. And that is where you get to decide what makes the most sense for you. But the important thing, I think, is to understand that we're trying to make pie.
And then
we don't get so bogged down in, this is my recipe and it's the only recipe. And it's like, well, actually, if I understand what this recipe is supposed to do, then we could do this different ways, couldn't we? Mm-hmm. And I think that was something that really helped me as an eclectic witch along the way to realize that, like you say, there are these truths that permeate all of these different practices. At the end of the day, we're kind of trying to accomplish the same thing or connecting to the same type of energy, whether that's Mother Nature or the goddess or what have you. And we just might have different ways of doing that. But if you understand what you're doing, then that might make how to do it, or at least where to look, a little less confusing or overwhelming, or make it feel a little less, you know, random. I'm just picking things out of thin air.
One of the most beautiful things I ever heard was, believe it or not, for a hot minute, I worked at the Kabbalah Center in LA, working, helping them to come up with their curriculum. So I was working just in the offices, right?
Yeah.
But I would go talk to the teachers, and I would go spend, you know, I spend time with the teachers talking to them and, you know, helping out with different things and so on. There was a teacher there who was so wonderful and wise. And he said to me one time, which was, it stuck with me years later, this has stuck with me. He said, there are 7 billion people in this world. I think there was 7 billion. Who knows what number it is now?
I think it's around there. Yeah, yeah.
There should be 7 billion religions in this world. I said, that absolutely makes sense to me, because my spiritual path is my personal path, and there are going to be some things that resonate for me and some things I'm going to go, not for me. It doesn't mean they're bad or wrong. It doesn't mean that it's just not for me. And I think that if you actually polled all the witches that are out there, even if they don't identify as eclectic, I don't think there are many that are fundamentalist witches of any kind that are only doing things that are prescribed, because who's prescribing them? Mm-hmm. Who's giving the rules? I mean, where do you go? Do you go to Aleister Crowley and you just do what Aleister Crowley says? Do you go to Dionne Fortune and just do what she says? I mean, it's like, there's no Pope of witchcraft. Right. So there's no one, you know, Bible of witchcraft. There's no one way to do witchcraft. There's folk magic. There's ceremonial magic. There's chaos magic. There's this. You get to look at these. And if you want to dive deeply into one, even a person who's very deeply, let's say, involved in chaos magic, I can almost guarantee you there's going to be some things that they pull from some other system of magic. If they've done any kind of looking outside of their system, they're going to find things that they resonate with, and they might incorporate and make it unique to themselves. Mm-hmm. So even someone who's very systematic, if they've done any research outside of that, they're going to find something or bring along their own life experience that's going to influence it. So we might say that to some degree, all witches are eclectic witches. They may not call themselves eclectic witches, but...
Yeah. No, actually, that's a really good point, because every witch I know, even ones who are initiated, you know, heads of houses, like, it is their responsibility to pass on particular traditions and, like, strict rules on how things are done. Even them, they're always like, okay, but so I do this, though. Like, I have never met a witch that doesn't put their own spin on things, whether they put their own spin in the long term, like, I really do something totally different, or, you know, just in the moment, like, I didn't have cinnamon, so I threw some nutmeg in there, kind of thing. Like, there is, and I think that goes to what you're saying about witchcraft not having an authority figure, or I feel like witchcraft is more a spirituality than a religion. And that is why you have that adherence mostly to universal law and the principles of nature, as opposed to, you know, dogmatic practices and rules and regulations and things like that. And I think it's important for people to understand that there is a difference between witchcraft and your individual or a individual tradition of practice, which is maybe more a religion, and people will fight back and forth about, like, is it a religion, is it not a religion, is it spirituality, blah, blah, blah. But just in terms of, like, simplifying the conversation, the practices that we know that involve initiation and that have strict rules for ritual and for your own personal conduct and practice and all of that, you know, is what I would put into the category of more of the religious magical practices versus the ones that are more just sort of open witchcraft and are more of a spirituality. So, you know, keep that in mind, new witches, as you are learning about different traditions, whether you plan on initiating or you're just learning for your edification, that traditions have rules. And some of them are very strict about that. And they really insist that you do things that way in order to say that you are practicing according to their rules, or that you are, you know, can give your practice a certain title or qualification. But witchcraft isn't like that. You know, witchcraft is that thing that really is the craft. It is the practice. It's the doing practice that unites all of us. Whereas our religions are more about, to me, they're a little less about doing, and they're more about like, how do we choose to see the world? Like, what's our outlook on why the craft works? Why does magic work? We all of our traditions have different ideas of who is the spirit that's in control here, or what energy is being manipulated, or all of that good stuff. But again, like you said, it's exercising the same truth. There's just different ways of doing it. But if you are pursuing a tradition, keep in mind that flexibility that witchcraft has maybe isn't going to be there.
100%. I think you can, witchcraft is absolutely 100% a practice and not a religion. There are some religions that really feature witchcraft, like Wicca,
right,
is, you know, really some very central part of Wicca is witchcraft.
Right.
Could you be a Wiccan and not be a witch? Yeah, I guess you could, but it's very integrated into it. But we can have Catholic witches, Jewish witches, Christian witches, agnostic witches, mm-hmm, you know, and so even these more mainstream religions, you can practice witchcraft in it, unless you belong to a certain segment of it that says you can't. And then, right, you know, what, then you got to figure that out.
Then you have to decide, like, you know, how serious am I about this? You know, I want to, and it's, I'm excited because we're going to be talking to Reverend Valerie Love this season. And she runs the Christian Witches podcast.
Oh,
and
that.
So she's going to talk a little bit about being a Christian witch, because there are definitely religions where it seems like witchcraft is forbidden, or the two do not go together. And I'm in agreement with you. Witchcraft is a practice. And so it's kind of exists in a space outside of the religions that embrace witchcraft. And if you are calling yourself a witch, or you're interested in that, or you want to learn more about the craft, and you feel maybe some type of pressure to align yourself with Wicca or any other religion that embraces it, what I think we're both saying is you really don't have to. Witchcraft is its own creature. So if the dogma of specific traditions, religions, or initiations are not of interest to you, then just witchcraft is still available to you.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, as you know, for myself, I have gone through all kinds of phases, because growing up, I was raised Catholic, but my mom was really the center of the spiritual practice in our home. My dad converted from being a Protestant to being Catholic so he could marry my mom. And then my mom, you know, she went to church. She was a churchgoer, but she was Ukrainian American. So she grew up with a Ukrainian mom who practiced healing, did healings and did spiritual work and did all kinds of magical things, because in that tradition, you could do magic and healing. Mm-hmm. As long as you tack Jesus, Mary, and Joseph on it, you were good.
Right, right? Exactly. Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah. So I grew up in this household where Catholic magic was done. Then I was like, I really wanted to be a witch. And back then I didn't think that was being a witch. I thought that was just normal. I thought that was normal Catholicism, which I realize in retrospect, it is not normal.
Right.
And then I got involved, and then I learned Wicca, and I was really involved in feminist Wicca. So I was involved with just circling with women, only worshiping goddesses and working with goddesses, and really involved in the feminine divine in a very deep way. And then I started being a solitary practitioner, because at that point I sort of I outgrew both of those beautiful spaces where I learned so much. Mm-hmm. I learned so much, but at some point the clothes didn't fit me anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I started really then delving more deeply into folk magic. I really, explored different, you know, sort of different practices and different, you know, ways of working, and still I'm exploring, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I've circled back to my Ukrainian Slavic magic, which I had as a child.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, maybe that's not everybody. Some people dive into something, they say, this fits me perfectly, and they stick with it their whole life. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Others of us need to have a journey on this and learn more, experience more, evolve. I mean, mm-hmm. I think about my own personal evolution. Another thing that I will say to put it out there is that, you know, when I was first practicing in the 80s, okay, before you were even born, before you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye, I was practicing witchcraft. But back then we were, oh, well, we can go into this religion and take this goddess, and we'll, and even though there's actively people that are practicing that religion, it's one thing to go into Greek mythology or to Roman mythology where you're pulling something out that people really, I mean, there's been revivals, of course, but this isn't like a kind of thing. But to go in to say, oh, well, I'm going to invoke Yemaya. And back in the 80s, it was okay. Nobody said anything about it. And you felt like you were going in respectfully. You were honoring this goddess and you were doing this thing. But now we've learned so much more and we've evolved so much more that we go, I shouldn't go into someone's house and go, oh, I'm going to borrow that thing. I'm just going to take that with me. I'll see you later. I'll be back.
Thanks. I'll be back with this promise. Yeah.
So I've really learned that. I'm continually learning and growing. And I think I'm always trying to do better. And I always, and I have to say something from getting involved with the hoodoo community. So I came into the hoodoo community and I was practicing hoodoo. And I had some African-American hoodoo practitioners go, not all, because the ones that knew me, I think, were very accepting, but the ones that didn't know me, you know, or didn't have contact with me would go like, what are you doing, white girl? And somebody said something that I really took to heart. They said, why don't you look into your own practice instead of coming into our practice? That's what, you know, which is a kind of a thing. And the first feeling I had was like, I didn't mean to offend. I didn't mean to do that. That isn't what I'm trying to do. And I felt a little hurt and misunderstood, which is a real feeling, you know?
Yeah.
But I didn't reject what she had to say. And I sat with it and I said, you know what? What about if I do? What about if I do go in back to my original practice and see what's there? And you know what I found? So gorgeous. Number one, there's definitely like something that feels like this is, oh my gosh, this speaks to me because my grandmother did this, right?
It has a nostalgia there.
Yeah. But the other thing I found is, oh, there's a Ukrainian version of that thing that's done in hoodoo. Oh, look at this pattern. We see this pattern in Native American blankets, and we also see it in you know, old Ukrainian blankets. They didn't share the same information,
right?
But we see that there are things that have variations that have similarity. And we're more, and when you get into folk magic, you find that we're more alike than we are different. And this other flavor is fine. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have to go, the thing that's about, I think that hoodoo is very documented, and it's documented in English. So it's easier for people to access, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ukrainian magic, you got to learn Ukrainian and you got to translate things, and it's really hard. But if you dig in and do it, you can find it. And you start to find, one thing that blew my mind was the practice of egg cleansing. Ukrainians do egg cleansing, and they work with eggs in all kinds of magical ways. And they do an egg cleanse. In curandurismo.
Yeah, I think of that as a Latin ATR derivative type practice. Yeah.
Right? They're doing two slightly different versions, but basically the same thing, taking the egg and breaking the egg. We also find it in Italian magic. We also find, and I'm like, oh, wow, we're all kind of doing a variation of the same thing.
Right.
So I bless that beautiful woman that's kind of called me out.
Sometimes that's how it comes.
Yeah. And I had to say, like, oh, it hurt, because I felt like I was being respectful, but I realized I can show it, I can teach it, I can do it, but I can also move on from that. And so I feel like that was the thing that, as I have a long history of practicing witchcraft, I've seen that evolution from when people mostly white people were going, I mean, I say it right, mostly white people going around, oh, I like that African goddess over there. Oh, I like that Asian goddess over there. Oh, I like that, you know, thing, that practice over there. And just sort of picking things without really, without being respectful. You know, and I did it.
I'm glad that you mentioned that and that you share that personal like journey that you went on, because I think there were so many gems in what you said. First, I think you're absolutely right that witchcraft really is eclectic at its core, and I think the reason for that, there are multiple reasons for that, but I think one of them is kind of reflective in your experience, in that as witches, we grow and we change. And so the likelihood that the practice that you first are introduced to, now this may be different if you grow up in a practicing household, if you're one of the few blessed to work in a home where you have practicing out witches and there's a tradition that everyone does. And so it might be different for you because that really might be just a lifelong commitment to one tradition. But for most of us who don't grow up in magical households and learn about it as they get older, we start somewhere that we don't end up. And so by definition, your practice becomes eclectic by the time you get to the end of it because it's had different influences. And I think I'm really glad that you touch on the idea of like cultural appropriation, because that is something that I think people are very nervous about. One, two, I think people think that like the eclectic witches are to blame. They're like, oh, you eclectic witches, that just means you're appropriating all over the place. And it's like, wait, hold on. No, there is a responsible way to be eclectic. There is a responsible way. And I'm so glad that you mentioned what you went through, because I think that's super great advice for some people, that like, being eclectic and evolving in your practice might be letting go of a practice that you had been learning more about, or turning, you know, around and coming back off of a path that you started to walk down for whatever reason. But if it feels like, not necessarily that the path that you're on isn't right, but that there just might be something more right, something better for you, that it's okay to pivot and go in that direction. And being eclectic, I think, makes it maybe a little bit easier to do that. Because I know that if I've initiated in something, first of all, initiations in certain traditions cost a lot of money. Thorne Mooney was with us talking about, you know, Wicca, traditional Wiccan covens not charging for initiation. But I know that that's not the case in a lot of traditions. There's a lot of investment financially that might go into initiating into a practice and things like that. And so it might feel really hard to say, this isn't for me and I've got to let go of what I've done. But when you're an eclectic witch, you don't necessarily have as much of a hard time maybe to say, let me pivot. Mm-hmm. Let me shift things up. Maybe I learned something new about the practice. Maybe I learned something new about myself. Maybe I learned something new about the others who practice this practice and I don't want to be associated with them. You know, and that can happen too. So being eclectic, I think, in a way gives you the flexibility really to grow and not be afraid to say, you know, that magic that I was practicing 2 years ago or that group that I joined, it's no longer for me. And that's mm-hmm. okay. I'm now doing something better.
Yeah. 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 Or more of a fit for where you are now. Right. I mean, you know, we were talking earlier about you're a Leo. I'm a Cancer. I'm a Cancer with a Leo rising though. And then when I was young, I used to go, I'm not a Cancer. I'm a Leo.
Yeah, because people would see you that way, right? Yeah.
Well, because I just thought Cancers were drips and Leos were fabulous. Yeah.
It's a double-edged sword.
Being fabulous all the time is hard work.
It's
right?
hard. It's oh, so much work.
But I mean, when I look at that as, and I really now embrace my Cancerness for sure. I mean, I love my Leo rising, but you know, I'm a Cancer at heart. Mm-hmm. I'm everybody's mama, you know, take care of everyone. But as I look at that water sign energy, I really tap into that energy of flow. you know, like and flowing toward things. And I think of that beautiful image of like the river that has twists and turns, the beautiful river that has the twists and turns in it as it flows through the land. And I think about our life journey, all so, you know, so many parts of our life really do have those twists and turns. We're not the same person we were when we were 18, when we were 15, when we were 20. Right. We're not that same person. And so when you were saying the story of the witch that grows up in the witch household, I go, that teen witch is going to go, I don't want to be a witch.
Yeah, that's always how it happens, right? That's always how it skips a generation.
My kids,
I would love
interested in witchcraft.
That's what I hear from all of the witching parents that I have. Whether they try to include their children, some folks I know try to include their kids. Some folks are like, no, whatever you want to do is up to you. But the general complaint is they don't really get into it, which is like, you know. And then the rest of us are like, I wish my mom was like at the cauldron in the evening. Like I would have been right there, but yeah
my kids, it's really interesting because in having a family that the mom is a witch, you know, they're so used to it, it's so normal to them that it's just like, yeah, whatever. It's like, you know,
it's not as exciting.
They know it, which is great. They know about magic, they know about manifestation, they know how to do it. I used to teach them when they were little, come on, we can manifest it, we're gonna manifest this, you know, whatever it was. But and I think they have that foundation if they ever want to like go to it or go back to it. But it's like, you can only do so much. Part of that also too, you know, and speaking of my own eclectic path, I have a huge like new thought law of attraction part of my whole thing, which has nothing to do with witchcraft, but I saw that the two really came together. And I saw where it's like the new thought law of attraction people will not do a spell.
Yeah.
But I could see that like, oh, what happens, there actually is that component where the two meet. And and I really am at that crossroads where those two meet. Because I say, yes, a really adept magician can focus their thoughts so purely on something and without wavering that they can manifest that thing. But the reality is we're human. And so what do? We go, I want to have that really successful business, but oh my gosh, it's not happening yet. I want to have that successful business. What if it doesn't work out for me? You know, we go, it's like we take a step forward and we take a step back.
Right.
And so what I saw was because I had all of that magical practice before, I had witchcraft before I had law of attraction stuff come into my life. Mm-hmm. I saw, oh, wait a minute. The tools that we use, the herbs, the oils, the spirits, the incantations, the whatever, actually fill in the gap between that intention and then where we step back to. Yeah. So the herbs, the oils, the candles, the incantations, the, you know, spirits, the things that we bring in will keep the energy of our intention going, even if we're wobbly.
Yeah.
So that's why my podcast is called Magic and the Law of Attraction, because I saw
I had wondered about that.
Yeah. Because I saw the meeting of those two, and witches practice law of attraction, don't know they're practicing law of attraction. Mm-hmm. Law of attraction people can enhance their practice with magic and witchcraft if they want to, you know.
Right, right.
But I really came from both of those two places where I saw, and I see some, you know, again, the law of attraction thing, when I first came upon New Thought, I was like, this is amazing. This is, yes, this is what I've been looking for. Mm-hmm. And then now I've also kind of grown to a place where I'm like, it works for some things and other things it doesn't work so well. I think this is a good time for us to take a break.
This show is part of the Modern Witch Podcast Network. For more shows like it, visit www.modernwitch.com.
But I did want to just ask you really quickly for folks, because I like to give people like the full perspective of things. You know, do you feel like there have been any downsides or pitfalls to being an eclectic witch? Is there something that you maybe missed out on, or things that could have benefited you from maybe initiating or just adhering to a particular tradition? Or,
well, I think that one of the things that you might
feel is a lack of community sometimes. Mm-hmm. Because when you come into, I mean, this is why cults do so well.
Yeah, for real.
Instant community.
Everybody does the same thing and we feel together.
Exactly. And so if I follow the rules and you're following rules, I don't have to explain the rules to you. We know what they are. We're going to be like-minded. We're going to be thinking along the same lines. And there can be a shorthand in that. You know what I mean? Like, if you have a rule about something, you don't have to explain to somebody why you're wearing this thing or why you're doing this thing or, you know, whatever, right? So I think there can be a sense of community that when you're, I mean, I will say this, I have no lack of community. That's not a problem for me. But I think that maybe that can be an experience for some people who are more used to that more structured religion or more structured path. And being initiated into something. I find my community is, because I like being surrounded by people who think, maybe not real differently than me, but you know, having a variety around me is stimulating to me. I'm not going to be hanging around Ku Klux Klan members or white supremacists or, or Republicans. It's horrible thing to say, but it's become that now, right?
But, no offense, guys, but
no offense to Republican witches out there. What are you doing with your life? I don't know.
Changing the system, hopefully. My goodness, get in there and do something, please. We need some moles in there.
So, I mean, I think that when I like to hang around with witches who have other paths and have other practices, and I like to hang out with them. You may not feel that sense of community from that, but I feel like I have a great group of amazing group of witches in my life as friends and as colleagues. And we are not all the same, but we can get together. We have enough commonality that we feel connected, right? I count you in that. I feel like we're not identical by any means, but we have so much in common and so much that we see this in like ways that we have a real common language, even if we're coming with different pathways to get there. Right. But I like surrounding myself with people who have different things because I learn. That's how I learn, is by being around that. And hopefully they learn from me too. So I think you can find it. But one of the downsides would be for some people who really want to have that real, like, we're all the same and we all are alike. You're not going to probably find that with an eclectic path. You're going to have to accept that maybe someone has a little bit of a practice. But if you open your mind to the idea of like, oh, maybe I'll learn something from that person and I'll learn something about their practice and I can appreciate it without necessarily being a part of it or involving myself in it. And I think if you have that mindset, then the path won't be so hard for you, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, I would say in terms of like the community aspect as an eclectic practitioner, that was definitely something that was lacking for me for a long time as a young witch. And it was hard to find a community being eclectic because it's like, well, what community do I find? You know, there isn't necessarily like the eclectic witch meetup, you know, they're often associated with certain practices or traditions or, you know, covens even and things like that. So I encourage folks to not be afraid of those events because I have found that they tend to be very accepting, even if you are not the, you know, a super serious devotee of that tradition or what have you, that, you know, even if you are just learning about them or just trying to figure out what resonates with you or just taking, and I mean respectfully, like bringing some of those practices into your own, that those communities are often really helpful because you get a firsthand view of like what that tradition is all about. And even if you decide that you're not going to like devote your whole life to it, it's good to see those who do, you know, what they do and how they do things. And they can be teaching experiences and also opportunities to just make friends. And that's really helpful. And I would say the other thing that might be missing aside from community is just structure. So like, you know, knowing yourself, I think, is important. Or, well, that's always a journey, but just checking in with yourself and maybe asking yourself the question, you know, what type of person am I? Do I do well in structured environments where things are provided for me? Does that make me feel more comfortable? You know, I know a lot of folks, especially coming from some of the less friendly to witchcraft religions, might have a lot of fear that they're doing something wrong, or that they might interact with beings or spirits that are not friendly, or that they don't understand. And so a tradition might be really helpful for you in terms of calming any fears or concerns you have about that, because they might have detailed ways to do things and protocol for, you know, who to call for the Ghostbusters when you like let something into your apartment that you can't figure out how to get out. You know, they are there for you. And if that matters, then eclectic practice might be a little scary for you, or a little bit too loose and a little too independent. But for those of you who really feel like your practice needs to be your own, and you feel like you can respectfully and responsibly educate yourself and create your own practice, then you might find eclectic practice really fulfilling. But yeah, you should know that it's definitely, even if you read all the books out there, there really isn't anybody to kind of hold your hand or, you know, prepare things for you. And so it requires you be a little bit of a daredevil, because you've got to be willing to, you know, maybe make some mistakes and self-correct and stuff like that, and be confident that you are ready, I guess, to explore without, you know, the assistance of a group or a leader of some kind, you know.
So. Yeah, I think that also sometimes is like the starting point. There's so, my gosh, this is like a amazing buffet of all kinds of things that are under the umbrella of witchcraft. And sometimes people are like, where do I begin? Mm-hmm. I don't even know where to begin. And so having the structure of a structured kind of practice with, you go to 101, then you take 102, and then then you take 103 and you're done, or whatever.
Right.
That may fit better for some people who are feeling overwhelmed by all the options, and I don't know where to even begin. Yeah. Because I get that question a lot. You probably get that question a lot. Like, where do I begin? Mm-hmm. And it's been so dang long for me. I'm like, I don't know.
When I get that question, on the one hand, I'm like,
anywhere?
Anywhere, because I'm like, I don't know where I started. I just said, I don't like this church stuff. And I just started looking for something else. And then you just, you know, it just starts from there. And in terms of practice, I would say probably started with candles and herbs, because that was like the accessible, but also like the witchy thing that I was interested in doing. But it could have started anywhere. It could have started with divination. But it just didn't. It started with candles and herbs. And but that was for me, because that just is what worked for me. But I also agree that on the one hand, I could say just start anywhere. But I do think also it's good advice to say start with a path, or start with one, I think, is the advice that I would give to folks. Start with one, whatever that one is. I'm learning about divination. Start with one. You don't need to know how to read the tarot and the pendulums and the runes and all of that today. Pick one that really connects with you, or that you feel really called to, and just really dive into that and enjoy that. And it's okay that you don't know all of the other stuff yet, or haven't experienced all the other stuff yet. I would say getting started, just pick one thing that really makes you happy and just start learning about it.
I think about my own journey on this, and I realize how different my journey, because I'm a crone, how different my journey is than a new witch starting now. Because the problem was for us back then in the 70s, when I was a kid and I was like, I want to be a witch and I can't find anything. We couldn't find enough information. So if we found one thing, like when I was in junior high, I found Sybil Leek's book, Diary of a Witch, in our school library. And I read that thing cover to cover like 10 times. Because we could sip it out of a straw, because there was so little. Now everyone's trying to drink out of a fire hose because there's way too much information out there. There's millions of classes and millions of teachers and millions of books and millions of YouTube videos. And it's too much information. And they have the opposite problem that I had when I was
a little witchling, which was, oh, I found this little bit of nectar. Oh, great. Okay, now I have to starve for another 6 months. Oh, I found this other little bit of nectar.
Yeah.
So it was very different. And we did, I did get to have the luxury of delving deeply into something and then delving deeply into something else and then delving, because there was no other option.
Right.
We didn't have all of this stuff. So it's a very different thing now for, you know, there was just really, and especially for a kid who couldn't drive a car and, or go to a bookstore or anything like that. Right. I got what was at the library was what was available to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, no. It. When people ask me, they're like, how did you become a Wiccan? I'm like, what choice did I have? I had two shelves at the Barnes & Noble that I could get to.
Exactly.
The Barnes & Noble was like, oh, you don't want to be Christian? Here are your options. This is your shelf,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So there wasn't a lot. And I definitely do feel for the new witches today, because it does sometimes feel like it's almost too much information. Like it's such
confusing.
A blessing that you can, you know, take a course with someone across the country, or you can read a book by someone that you never would have heard of otherwise. But that incredible abundance of information, and with no one to filter it for you or explain it or help put it into context for you, really can make it seem really, really stressful. So if it helps you at all, know that if being an eclectic witch or just approaching your craft eclectically, because I don't even know that you have to decide, like, I am an eclectic witch, I think. But just if you are approaching your path in an eclectic fashion, just know that, you know, that you are going to have to maybe work a little bit harder, in the sense that you have a ton of information, but no one to filter it for you.
Yeah.
So you are going to have to do your own due diligence. You're going to have to research who wrote this article, you know, who taught them, you know, who is this person that's teaching a class? What are their credentials? What's their background? Because there was a time where, you know, for me, it felt like getting a book published was like a big deal. You know, it was like a really big deal. And it was like you were a millionaire if you got it published, because you were like, you know, toured all over the world by your publisher. Like it was 6 months before the next big release, you know, so they milked it for all that it was worth. And you really had to be on top of your stuff and cite all your resources and all that good stuff. And now, you know, I could publish a book tomorrow on like Amazon. And that's not to say that books aren't a great resource, but it just means that there's a lot more information out there that hasn't necessarily been as vetted as it would have been at another time. Well, I have talked your ear off. I've had you here for quite a while now. I want to say, you know, thank you so much for everything that you've shared. I want to make sure that people can find you, because you have so many informative books, videos, posts. You have a beautiful shop and like some of the most amazing candles ever. Your candle burns are inspiring and beautiful. Yeah. So why don't you let us know a little bit about anything you're working on, or what we can, you know, where we can find you.
Well, Parlor of Wonders, spelled P-A-R-L-O-U-R, Parlor of Wonders is my hub, my website, and you can pretty much find everything there. I've got tons and tons and tons of free resources there for learning about magic. And so there's, like you said, there's videos. I have two podcasts. One of my podcasts is Magic and the Law of Attraction, which is a general magic with a little bit of a new thought flavor added in there for, you know, a little something. I have another podcast. That's my new podcast, called Baba Yaga's Magic, which is about Slavic magic, which is my new passion, man. It's my new old passion, you know?
Yeah.
Those two podcasts, those are free to listen to. I also have tons of videos on YouTube, and they can find me on YouTube under Madam Pamita. I started doing YouTube 10 years ago, if you can believe it. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it.
Yes.
YouTube for 10 years. But I've got tons of videos on there, I've got podcasts up there, everything. I've got millions of videos up there. Those are all free, of course. And then I have a live Q&A that I do every Sunday for free. So, and that's over Zoom. And you can sign up for that by going to spellsquad.com, and it will take you to the place where you can sign up. And then you get an invitation. The link is the same every week, every Sunday, except for the first Sunday. We get together for an hour at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, and we talk about magic. I do a little bit podcast episode, and then the second half, I answer your questions. So if you do have questions like, where do I get started? Or what's a good spell for this kind of situation? I can answer those questions right there, then and there, and you'll get your answer, and it doesn't cost you a dime. So that's another thing that I offer. I've got books. My latest one is Baba Yaga's Book of Witchcraft. I've got the Book of Candle Magic and my book. I should show them. Here's Madame Pamita's Magical Tarot.
Yeah.
The Book of Candle Magic. And then this is my new baby that I worked so hard on, Baba Yaga's Book of
Witchcraft. Such a beautiful cover.
Oh my gosh, this book is got illustrations, of course, none of the pages that are popping up. There we go.
Yeah, no, it's so pretty.
And it's really, and it's a book about, it's a lovely book about folk magic, Slavic folk magic. And you don't need to be Slavic to read it and enjoy it. It's a practice. I believe this is a practice that's open to everyone to explore, learn, and do. I teach paid workshops. All that stuff can be found up on my website. If they want to join me one-on-one, we do new moon, full moon workshops that are so fun. We get together and we make candle spells or we make other kinds of spells, and that's very fun. You get the material sent to you and we do it together. Oh. And then I have First Sunday's witchcraft workshops, which are in-depth deep dives. And lately I've been doing Slavic magic on those. So that's been very fun. So there's a lot of things going on at Parlor of Wonders Land.
Yeah, definitely. And if you guys tune into those Sunday's Q&As, you might see me in the comments. I try to tune in whenever I can.
This is a great example. I should point this way. This is a great example. I know you're the opposite way than I'm looking. This is a great example of what that Q&A happens at that Q&A. We have tons and tons and tons. We have new people coming in that are brand new to witchcraft and magic and want to know. But we also have a ton of super experienced people like Allie who come. There's really amazing, very knowledgeable people. So what happens in, we have the chat where you can type your question. But if I don't get to your question, other people chime in and give answers and suggestions and help. This is a beautiful community that I would love, you know, for anybody listening to join and be a part of it. And it doesn't cost anything. Yeah. And it's another resource for you that builds community all over the world. We have people from all over the world coming to those. And you can join in. You can learn something. You can ask your questions in a way that feels very safe. You aren't on camera. You're just typing it into chat. Mm-hmm. And I can offer some answers. But other people like Allie are there in the room and they're like, hey, you can also try this, or what about this, you know? And I love that aspect. It's like, to me, it's like the more the merrier. Let's bring everyone lots of good information from good, solid practitioners. And it's kind of like self-regulating, I've found. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because if somebody gives a wonky answer, another more knowledgeable person will come in and go, yeah, you can try that, but what about this? It's maybe a more tried and true way of doing it.
We could probably gush about each other on and on into the evenings and, you know, bore the crap out of people. We'll probably start to wrap it up here. So I just want to take a quick moment to thank you so much, Madam Pamita, for being with us on this episode of the Better Witch Podcast. And I want to thank everyone who is tuning in, listening, or watching. Thank you so much for being here, because when we know better, we witch better.
Thank you, witches, for tuning in to another episode of the Better Witch Podcast, presented by the Modern Witch Network. New episodes air every week. You can watch the video broadcast on YouTube every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, or listen to the audio version on your favorite podcast platform every Thursday. And if you're a Bronx Witch Coven member, join us right after each YouTube broadcast for a live Q&A about the episode. Whether you're on YouTube or tuning in on your favorite podcast platform, we want to know your thoughts on today's episode. So please make sure to leave reviews and drop comments wherever you are. You can show support for this podcast by grabbing some sweet merch over on my YouTube channel, and join the Bronx Witch Coven also on YouTube for behind the scenes footage from today's episode and more details on how to join in on those live Q&As. See you next week, and blessed be. Thank you.